Marcus and Christina, welcome back, Marcus. Welcome back, all of you who have been ill and have made it back this week, and continue to pray for those who are ill with the cold or the flu. Seems like those are the two things that I'm hearing most. And it's really interesting because, good morning. There's been a few people who have been sick for weeks, literally weeks. And I've spoken with them and they've gone to the urgent care and they're told they have a cold. Like, okay, well, I probably could have figured that out myself, except they're not supposed to last for that long. So anyway, glad to see those of you who have recovered enough. We actually have cough drops in the back in case you need them. We supply that every week. I did want to mention, too, that this is the first week we haven't seen sunshine since we've been here. We've been here 2 weeks, so that means we're little past halfway through the month of January, and we're actually exactly halfway through our sermon series that is called New Year, New Vision. And so we're looking at what God has for us over, you know, the new year, obviously a great new start. And that's where we began on our first Sunday here. Those of you who were here, remember that we talked about a new start. And literally, we had a new start. We figured out how to do church in this space. And those of us who get here at 8:30 come into a middle school cafeteria, complete with ketchup on the wall from the kids stomping on ketchup packets. How many of you have ever done that in your life? Fess up, yes, yes, yes. So you can well imagine that the kids had a blast this week. But at any rate, this area then gets to be transformed into a church. Praise God for that, right? Thank you, Lord, for giving us this space. So we have literally got a new start. We now come northwest from the community center. I believe that's the right direction that we come. We have further to walk from our parking lot. Have any of you noticed that? Thank you for being adaptable. I really appreciate it. You have noticed it too. One thing I do want to say is there is a closer parking lot. So if you have the ability to turn your head out that direction, the corner of Francis and Cornelius Pass, there's a small parking lot there. If you have mobility issues, if it's hard to walk, that parking lot is for you. There are handicapped slots, but there's also slots that aren't handicapped. So feel free to park there if you need to. We've also discovered that the bathrooms are built for middle schoolers. And it's kind of interesting to go in and you know, anyway, contort to get the door shut. And so the custodial staff has actually opened the staff bathroom. And if you go out of our exit doors and turn to the right, you will find a bathroom there. It's one person at a time. So if you can contort, I still suggest you go to the main bathrooms. But there's adjustments that we're making. Another one that I think we'll talk about this week is the fact that it's a little chilly in here this morning. Does anybody feel a little bit chilly? Yeah, yeah. Even though I've been running around since 8:30 setting things up, I thought it was perfectly warm in here until I stopped and did some singing and I started thinking, I'm a little chilly. The heat is centrally controlled by the district. The district, that sounds like the Hunger Games, doesn't it? But anyway, it's centrally controlled. And so they've set it so that it turns on a certain number of hours before we arrive. And they said to let them know that this is also kind of a process for them to figure this out. But we've had a new start. And all of those things will get figured out. And we're thankful for the new start and glad that you are all here with us today. To be sure, to be absolutely sure, we are not wandering around in a desert. Deserts aren't this cold, but we are not. Antarctica is a desert. Okay, that's a little fact. Factoid we learned today. Next time you watch Jeopardy, that might come in handy. But one thing that we've kind of equated ourselves to a little bit are the Israelites that left Egypt, and then they wandered in the desert for a while, and then they crossed into the Promised Land. We've crossed into the Promised Land. That is for sure. I feel assured of that. And I think it happened when we went into the community center. We thought it would turn out a little bit differently when we moved in there. We thought, oh, we're going to find a building. We're going to like really take this land right off the bat. And then if you look back in the book of Joshua, you realize that it's a process. It was a process of the people continuing to trust and be faithful and learn lessons. But we are not wandering in the desert. We are in the Promised Land. And this has been our next step. And God said, I am giving you this land. And he's saying, take it. What is that exactly going to look like? God knows. What are we going to do? Follow him obediently in what he shows us to do. Now, last week, we talked about new you. We realized when we have a new start, which every day really is a new start, that we become new people. And over time, we're transformed as new people. And that change is inevitable. Ugh, whether we like it or not, things are going to change. And our job is to be moldable in God's hands, and to lean into change rather than to fight change. And one of the things that we do here not pretty regularly, we've actually made a tradition, is to find a focus word for the year. And those of you who were here last week were able to spend some time with God during our response time and come up with your focus for this year, or at least the beginning of the year. How many of you came up with a focus word? Great. Those of you who may not have been here and haven't spent time with God saying, what is it? Where do you want me to focus this year? I would suggest that you do that. It's a great exercise because it kind of narrows things down and gives you something to really aspire to work on this year. My focus word happened to be acceptance, because I'm finding that I'm a little more irritable lately with people. Just in general. And it could be that, you know, I did some shopping during the holidays. At any rate, you know, it's almost the opposite of judgment is acceptance. And I was catching myself more and more being a little too judgmental. And so God gave me that word. I sat at the cross and prayed and said, what is it? And I knew when he gave me that word, acceptance, it was like, yes. I haven't been doing so well on that. And so that's been my focus this week. I've been catching myself when my first thought has been irritation. Say, I don't want to be treated that way by other people, even in my thoughts. And so I've been working on that. That's my area of growth and focus. I'm wondering if any of you would be willing to share what your focus is for this year. And maybe share how God gave you that focus and how this week, possibly, that focus word has become more prominent. I think there's someone coming up right now who wants to share.
Well, I don't think I have an answer for that last one. I walked up too soon. But God kind of gave me a twofold focus word. Illuminate. I, through my life actions and how I live out his purpose for me, I am to illuminate the area around me so people can see God. And then I am also allowing him to illuminate within myself areas that I need to continue to work on. So I don't think I have an example.
That's fine. You don't need to have an example if you have one. But yeah, if you want to share your word and just kind of how that came about and what it means. Anybody else want to share? I'll bring a mic to people.
In the scripture that talks about if you remain in me and my words remain in you. And I've been trying to remain in him. And so then I'm seeing things that I'm judgmental about, might be critical about, and I have to repent to those and not pay attention to those.
Good. Thank you.
My words, first one leads to the other. My word is clarity. God is bringing clearness into our path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that he will direct our paths, and that's what we're trusting him for. So we are branching into a new area with this Ray of Hope family home in Jinja, Uganda. And it started to be built, but we don't have the finances to complete it. We think, wow, we really feel clearly to start out, but we're thinking, what is the next step, Lord? And so we're praying for clarity, and then the following word is peace. Mm. We are trusting God for peace in this, that it's God's project and not ours.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else have a focus word that they would like to share?
As I've been praying the beginning of the year, God has given me the word surrender. And since I've started doing the ladies' prison fellowship at the jail, Thursday nights I now do a ladies' Bible study. And he's not directly leading me right now, but I feel God's changing my ministry. So I'm trying to surrender to him this year to follow his leading, whatever he's going to have me do.
Perfect. Perfect. Does anyone else want to share their focus word? Okay, Tara will. Well, let me, we'll get it all covered.
My word this year was compassion. Well, it was actually three, compassion with others, but compassion. The old me, before I accepted Jesus in my heart, was very judgmental, very negative. And as I've accepted Jesus and God in my heart, I find that that's not my go-to, yet I still fall backwards because I'm human. So I interact with the public a lot, with school, and I find myself always willing to help anybody who's struggling. And that feels really good. Whether they recognize or not that I'm doing this because I'm a follower of Jesus, it is such a blessing for both of us. And I'm very grateful for that.
Great. Thank you. I saw a hand over here, right?
No, it was
yours. Okay.
God gave me the word that yield before I had a chance to ask him. And then when I asked him for a word like simplicity or something I really wanted, he wouldn't give it to me. And while I'm asking him, I walked up and put yield down. And I laughed because I thought, that's the devil yielding to temptation. That all week long, this word has just kept my sanity. I was having trouble in work. I was having trouble at cleaners. I was having trouble at home with having to take over and do things and then not getting the credit and somebody else getting the credit. And all I had to do was just yield. I mean, it didn't matter. I had to do what needed to be done. And then don't worry about it. So just yield. It saved me. Changed my rotten, stinking attitude.
Oh, good, good. That's great.
Well, I had two words, too. First is listen. The second is pray. Because, you know, I've figured out that I really don't have control of anything. And so those are two things that could really make a difference without me having to make the difference.
Very good. And listen and pray really go well together. Very good.
I never speak, but God told me my word was stretch. Mm. And I felt like if I didn't own up to it here, I wasn't following up. Stretch.
Very good. Very good. Yay. Yep, that's what we have to do. We need to practice, don't we? those words and those focus things that God asks us to do, if we were already doing them, we wouldn't be growing. And so they're things that he's asking us to grow into. I have asked Ted to come up as well and share with us. I would think that a lot of you recall that in October, we had a six-week time of seeking repentance, and some of us together did that. We scheduled a time every day to do that. So he's going to follow up on that and then what's coming up in the next 6 weeks.
Thank you, Pastor Carlene. As she mentioned, in October, we set out to have a time of repentance and seeking repentance before God. And many of you came and expressed how God was moving in that in your life and what he was accomplishing. And in that repentance, you responded. But there is also those that I heard from that came and expressed, you know, the sin that I've dealt with is gone, but there's something not quite right. And I know that I'm not quite where God wants me to be. It's not a blatant sin, but life's not lining up with what God has for me and what he's showing me. One morning I was praying, and God gave me the words, secondary repentance. Now, please don't look in the Bible for those words. They're not there. Secondary repentance is not there. But in the midst of that, God began to reveal to me to understand that many times we have a pattern of things that happen in our lives because of the sin that was in our life. And so ultimately, we have to ask that question. Do you have a pattern that's been imprinted into your life by the sin that you've chosen to repent of? And how is that impacting you to live a free life? So examples would be if you've grown up with an abusive father, can you trust a heavenly father? Do you? If you've been parented poorly growing up, how is it that you parent? Is there a remnant of what was there? You may not be intentionally sinning, but there's areas that could be impacting you. If you were told you were no good over your entire life, and God comes along and tells you how good you are, do you believe him? Can you believe him? So for the next 6 weeks, I want to challenge you again to another 6 weeks of secondary repentance, which is asking God for helping to identify the pattern and then begin to heal the pattern that has been there. Asking God to renew your mind. Now, there's the words that are in the Bible. That's the secondary repentance, is the renewing of the mind. Next, toward the end of February, New Vision will be sending 6 people along with 10 others from the Oregon Conference to the National Prayer Summit in Michigan. Now, first of all, 6 out of 10, we're sending a lot more to that group. I really appreciate the heart for prayer that this church has. And this year's focus in the prayer summit is transforming our world through prayer. There's still some scholarship funds. If there's anyone else that God is laying upon your heart that you should be there, come talk to me after the service. Along with this journey, with the 6, we will be asking many of you to join us around the first of this next month on 21 days of praying dangerous prayers. Okay? So we're going to be finding out what can happen if we pray. Now, I got to admit, I'm not one to wait for that 21 days to come about. So today I want to extend a challenge to all of New Vision that was actually extended to the Thursday night home church group through Marcus Overstreet. This challenge aligns with the definition of dangerous prayers. This challenge that he gave the group and now we're extending to New Vision is to pray for 5 new salvations, 5 new believers, 5 new changed lives in the next 30 days that will be a part of New Vision.
Whew.
I don't know. This might take some faith. It might take some personal transformation. And it might even take some repentance. Pastor?
Thank you. So we've been in a sermon series for some new things. And we've just heard about some new challenges that are before us and how God seems to be bringing us into a season we're going to be focusing on prayer and seeing him answer our prayers. Well, we have seen answered prayers over the last few years, but let's take that next step. Let's go ahead and take a new step in our believing that as we've come into the promised land, he says, there's more. It's time to take it. It's time to take the land. I'm giving it to you. So this morning's sermon is about new steps. And I want to share why we need to learn new steps. This morning, there's 3 main reasons I want to cover. First of all, as we are transformed by God, we learn to walk with the stature of Jesus. First one. Second, as you change and as I change, we find that the way we relate to each other must change too. And thirdly, as we make connections with people in our lives with whom God has strategically placed there, we time our steps with theirs to truly walk beside them. So let's break these things down. Let's start with new steps are learned as we begin to walk with more regularity in the stature of Jesus. You're going to notice on the screen that there's some words that are underlined, and those are for your sermon notes. Sermon notes are now in every program. We're starting to do that. We also have extras on the back table, but they're in your program. So if you want to take notes, you should have received pens as you came in. There's also pens available. If you need either sermon notes or a pen, just raise your hand and it'll be brought to you. But anything underlined is your fill-ins for your sermon notes. Jesus walked on the water. We know he walked on water. Who was the disciple who also walked on water? Peter. Peter was the disciple who also walked on water. And when did that happen? What was going on is that a huge crowd had gathered. 5,000 men, plus women and children. And there was no food for them. And all they had were 5 loaves and 2 fish. Familiar story, correct? And out of those, Jesus blessed the food, and there was enough to feed that whole group of people. Well, once that day was winding down and finishing, Jesus told his disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to dismiss the people. And so the disciples got in the boat to go to the other side of the lake. Now, a couple of weeks ago in our sermon, we talked about the fact that what God says is going to happen will happen. So when Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake, what was going to happen? They were going to get to the other side of the lake, correct? If Jesus said it, it was going to happen. So they're going off into the lake, and Jesus dismissed the people, and as I think any one of us would do after a day like that, he just wanted alone time. He just took alone time. And the disciples are going across the lake, and a storm hit, windstorm. And there were strong winds and huge waves, and it was frightening for them. And the Bible says at 3 a.m., Jesus decided to go ahead and join the disciples, and he came walking along the water. And they were scared. They're like, oh, it's a ghost, oh no. And he said, no, it's me. You don't need to be afraid. At which point, Peter called out to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. Next slide. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Now, a lot of times we say, oh, Peter, 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 why did you doubt? If you wouldn't have doubted, keep your eyes on Jesus and stay above the waves. And, you know, we all act like we would have done that ourselves. Well, in the first place, that was really gutsy of him to take those steps anyway, to say, I want to walk on the water too, and to even get out of the boat. How many of us would even get out of the boat? He at least got out of the boat, right? And what was the first thing he did when he started to sink? Save me, Lord. He could have tried to swim. He could have tried to swim back to the boat. He could have yelled to his brother disciples and said, throw me that life ring thing. Throw me a rope. Help me. When are you going to come help me? He could have, you know, just panicked. He could have sunk. He could have drowned. He could have done all sorts of things. What did Peter do? He called on God. I think that's the lesson we learn in this. Not that Peter didn't have enough faith. It's the fact that he actually did have a huge amount of faith. Enough faith to get out of the boat, take steps, and then when he started to fall, when he started to have trouble, when the waves were big, he sank and he called on Jesus. Now, it does say in the word, he took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. There's a lesson in that for us. We take steps of faith. There's times we get out of the boat. We heard an example this morning. There's someone who got the word stretch. So what did she do? She took a step out of the boat and she stood up and she spoke into a microphone saying, that's something I never do. She got out of the boat. She did it. Praise God. Good job. That's the kind of faith that Peter demonstrated to us. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now, just as easily, person who shared that could have said, not today. I'm going to wait. That would have been taking her eyes off of Jesus. She would have regretted an opportunity to grow and to stretch and to take new steps. So we know these things about Peter. He walked on the water and he failed, but he called on Jesus. He also said that he would follow Jesus to jail and to death if necessary. And he failed again. He didn't do that. He denied even knowing Jesus when it came right down to it. He repented after that time when he failed. It was Peter on whom Jesus said, your faith is what the church is going to be built on. And it was Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to know God that day and believe in Jesus Christ. It was Peter who argued against Paul about the requirements of the Gentiles, those who weren't Jews, who were becoming believers. He argued against him and he said, all of the people who are becoming believers must follow the religious rituals that all Jews do. And Paul argued against that, and it resulted in something called the Jerusalem Council, where they made a decision with the other apostles on what those rules and regulations were going to be. And it didn't go Peter's way. What he had first said he wanted, what he first stood for, which was everyone needs to comply with religious rituals, the whole group decided, no, we're not going to do that. And he conceded to that decision. The final decision differed from his original stand. And so we can learn from that, because always being right doesn't mean you are successful. Being a constant learner in the ways of God, and as we spoke last week, being moldable in God's hands makes us successful. Peter continued to be bold and courageous and let his failings become the very thing that propelled him to walk in the stature of Jesus. Now, the challenge Ted gave us this morning, in the phrase he coined with, I think, God's help, secondary repentance, allows us to walk in the steps of Jesus, and also brings us to our second reason for needing to walk in new steps, which is this: learn to love through transformational change. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Peter wrote these words. 1 Peter 4:8. Why did he include this? He was well aware of the necessity for extra grace that comes in helping others through the times of transformational change. Talk about a man whose life was transformed. Peter's life was transformed. Talk about someone who received grace time and time and time again from Jesus. Peter received grace. He understood what it meant to try to take new steps, and that it was okay to not always be successful, but to learn from them, to be emboldened through those times of trying new things. But he shared these words: continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. We are living together, people, and none of us are perfect. We know that. But boy, do we want the other person to be, don't we? That's part of, I think, where my word came from this year, the word acceptance. I hold really high standards for myself. And I hold even higher standards, I think, sometimes for other people, or at least the same standards I hold for myself. And sometimes it's not realistic. And why does it matter anyway? Why does it matter anyway that I get everything absolutely right all the time, as long as I'm learning and growing and we're doing it together? We also see something similar in Paul's letter to those living in Philippi, Philippians 4, 2, and 3, where he says, "Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news." First thing I want to point out, these were two women in leadership with Paul in spreading the good news in Philippi. Yay! There were men doing the work and there were women doing the work. Did you get that? Did you hear that? Secondly, we are not always going to get along. We're not always going to get along. It's interesting to me that this is included in the Bible. This, you know, this note to the person who was receiving the letter in Philippi and who then read it to the entire community. That's how the communication was done. Included this particular thing. Get along, you guys. You're going to have disagreements, yes. But being different doesn't mean wrong. It just means different. And those of you who have gone through any marriage counseling with me or premarital counseling have heard me say this. You're not always going to agree on everything. Being different does not mean one person's wrong and one person's right. It means that you got to figure things out, figure out your differences, work it out, and cover it with love. Let's love each other anyway and learn to live in harmony. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, for those of you who get that reference. Secondary repentance is going to lead to life changes. The interim between the now and arriving at the transformed self is often, if not usually, not very pretty or easy. It's got to be okay for us to be neither pretty nor pretend that things are easy. I give you permission to come to church not pretty. This is not license to embrace our dysfunction. What this is permission to embrace God's plan to work out his transformational growth in our lives. We need to be loving and patient as we support others in their growth. Those who engage in the 6 weeks of secondary repentance are going to see their lives change in dramatic ways. John 13:33 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Get ready to hang on to the love. Get ready to hang on to the love. Those who truly start beginning to say to God, "Show me those ingrained patterns that I have in my life that I'm sick of personally, that I'm trying to control. Show them to me, work them out, let me get to the root, and let's get rid of these. I really, truly want to be free." Jesus promised freedom. And you have it every time you confess sin. You do have that every time you confess sin. But we continue sometimes to walk in ways that we've just learned that are unhealthy. And as we seek God and say, "Show me the unhealthy," he's going to do that. I promise you, you pray that prayer, he's going to answer it. God says he will answer prayer. So be ready to support each other in love through the changes that God's going to bring to this community and this family. And be encouraged and excited for each other. And as you're going through changes yourself, know that there's other people to encourage you and support you through that process. There's a great leadership team, and there's many people in this church. We're a loving, serving, merciful church. And you can do it here. You can get down to your real self and be transformed by Jesus. And this leads us to the next and the final thing we're going to look at this morning, which is walking in sync is going to build relationships. Walking in sync to build relationships is going to be an important part of our continual growth and our newness here in God. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. That is from Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 9. Let me read what leads up to this verse. Paul says, "Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. Finding common ground with everyone builds godly relationships. And shouldn't it be here, in the midst of the followers of Jesus who profess him as our Savior, that we build relationships with people regardless of what their customs are or what their traditions are or even their behaviors or beliefs before they come to Christ? We get to build a relationship and walk in sync with people. Pulling from an earlier point, we must learn to love each other in our non-pretty times if we're going to be able to love people who don't even know Jesus yet. It needs to start here first. And pretty simultaneously, God is bringing us to love other people too in that same way. Because people are hungry for relationships. And it's up to us to be the ones to reach out and be the bridge builders. We know that Jesus chose 12 disciples with whom to walk while he was on the earth as a man. And he built relationship with those people. Do you have anyone in your life? Are you friends with anyone who doesn't know Jesus? Years ago, I came to the realization that all of my friends were Christians. All of the people I hung out with were Christians. My kids were young then, pretty much, you know, we've had play dates with my Christian friends and their kids, and I was in Bible study, and I had a busy life, but I didn't have friends who weren't Christians. And so I prayed on a Sunday morning, not unlike this Sunday morning, and I asked God to bring someone into my life who did not yet know Christ. And God literally sent someone to my door. So here's the story. Sunday morning, came to a realization in a church setting, based on the teaching I was hearing, that I didn't have anyone in my life who wasn't a believer. And so I said, God, bring someone in my life who's not a Christian but needs to know you. That was Sunday. Thursday, my doorbell rang. I opened the door, and there was a woman standing there with whom I had worked 8 years prior. And she was standing there with her baby boy. And it turned out that we didn't live too far from each other. She was aware of that. And she said, for some reason, I just wanted to come and visit. She didn't call ahead of time. I didn't have to leave my house, people, for God to answer this prayer. Why would he answer a prayer like that? Because that's his heart too. He says, I want to bring those who need to know freedom and love and peace and joy that goes beyond anything that this world can understand, that the Holy Spirit is the only one who can truly fill us with these things. Yeah, you pray that prayer, you bet I'm going to answer it, is what God says. We pray the prayer as a group and say, five people, God, bring them to a commitment to you in the next month. Is God going to say, oh, let me scratch my head, not sure I want to answer that one? Absolutely not. That's the heart of God. Are we going to be bold enough to pray a prayer that we know God's going to answer? The thing is, you have to be willing to be a participant. This woman rang my doorbell. I invited her in. We reconnected. We built a friendship. She needed a babysitter for her little boy, and I began babysitting him. And her mom was in her second marriage, and she was having some struggles in that marriage. And so this friend said, "Would you and Ted come and meet with my mom? I think it might just help her." And so she was there with her mom, and we talked with her, and we prayed with her. And that was a cool thing. And then tragedy hit. And her two-year-old son, he grew to two, he died. He died unexpectedly in his dad's arms. We were devastated. Our kids were devastated. Our youngest child was three. I'd never seen a three-year-old grieve before. But she grieved. I held her for 3 days straight on my lap and just rocked her. And all she wanted to do was lie there. And then after 3 days of just being in my arms and feeling loved, she got up and started playing again and doing things again. And this friend asked Ted if he would officiate and perform the funeral because she didn't know any other Christians but me and Ted. And so we did that. And a few months later, this friend accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she had another child, a baby girl. And she had her first Easter. And I remember her saying, "This is really, truly my first Easter in my whole life." Even though she'd lived for 40-some years by then. She said, "Every other Easter I've celebrated the Easter Bunny, and this year I'm celebrating Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." That's what it means to build a relationship where you begin walking in sync with someone else. She came to my door. She wasn't a Christian, and I hadn't seen her in 8 years. But she was an answer to prayer. And let me tell you, I knew it immediately. Only 4 days had passed since I prayed the prayer and said, "God, bring someone into my life." And little did I know what was in store in that relationship. It wasn't always pretty, and it wasn't always easy. But she is now walking with Jesus. Ted set a challenge before us. It came from the Thursday home church group. To pray a bodacious prayer. A bodacious prayer. One that is bigger sometimes than we even want to try. Because sometimes we feel like we need to protect God. What if he doesn't answer? Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you need to like give him a little bit of a back door just in case God doesn't answer? What do you do then? No, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go with doubt. We're going to go with faith. Those of you who are willing to pray with us, God will literally answer this prayer. You willing to pray it? Are you willing for God to use you when that prayer is answered? If someone comes and knocks on your door this week, that's God's answering prayer. And he's calling you to invest. It's not a matter of you saying, "Come to church. Okay, that's all I need to do." No, it goes deeper than that. It's about building a relationship. This friend of ours did come to church for a time, but it didn't happen immediately. It took months, if not years, before we saw that happen. Do you have any non-Christian friends in your life? You going to pray that prayer today if you don't? Where are we going to be led as a church when we take these new steps? We're going to be led here. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. This is in John, the book of John, and this is Jesus' words. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name. And when you ask for something in Jesus' name, it means you're coming in agreement with him. Ask for anything in Jesus' name. Come in agreement with him. Does he want to see the unsaved brought to a relationship and a commitment to Christ? Yes. You could ask anything in my name. And I will do it. And I will do it. God is a man of his word. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Praise God. You ready? You challenged? Okay, this is no guilt. No guilt. This is not about guilt. This is not guilt evangelism. This doesn't mean, you know, go out there and do your thing and tell everybody you're a Christian. No. This is about asking God to answer a bodacious prayer and to be willing to walk in sync with someone and each other to build relationships, to see his work and his plan for us as we have moved further into the promised land come to fruition. And so we've been talking about new steps today. It's time for next steps. And I would like to ask Marcus and Christina if they would come up and prepare for our response time and ask you to take your connection card out of your bulletin, and you will find next steps on one of the sides. First next step, as I allow God to transform me, I will learn to walk in the steps of Jesus. What Peter did. Second step, I need to be loving and patient as I support others in their growth. Remember that as we ask for this secondary repentance, this God, go a little deeper, show me areas that really need to be transformed, it's going to take extra love and patience with each other. And then finding common ground with other people builds godly relationships. During the first song, I would ask you to complete your connection card. It has a space for your name and other information on one side. Next steps on the back side. Decide what next steps you're going to, you know, engage in. Put a check mark there. There's a blank line for a fourth next step. If you are willing to be a part of the prayer for 5 new commitments in the next month, will you please write that down there so that we know who's praying? If you have a prayer request, let us know what that prayer request is. And if there's areas of involvement that you would like more information about, go ahead and check those boxes. After we sing our first song, the ushers will come and collect those connection cards. During this time, this is your time to connect with God. What has he spoken to you today? What is he speaking to you right now? Do you need to go to the cross station and just bow before him and seek him? Do you need to come up here and be closer to the front? Is he calling you to do that? Is he calling you to take steps that might be a little bit out of your comfort zone? Get out of the boat, get out of your seat, come up here and stand or kneel. He might be asking you to do that today. Do that. Whatever he is asking you to do, respond to him in whatever way that is. If you need to draw, if you need to write, and especially if you want to sing praise and glory to him, please do so. If you wouldn't mind right now standing with me as we close this sermon time in prayer, and then you can complete your connection card, sit back down and do that if you need to, or stand and do that, and we will pray, and then we will praise. Lord God, I want to thank you for today, and I thank you for challenging our faith. I thank you for the new year that you have ushered us into. And God, this is certainly not a year of complacency. That you have made very clear. And so I pray for each person here, who is a part of this body and this family, that you will help us to unite together and support each other. I also pray, Lord God, for those who may not know you as their Lord and Savior. And I ask, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will just continue to work in their lives and their hearts. God, it's amazing, and you've shown me this, and we talked about it last week, how the very thing that brings the most freedom almost seems counterintuitive to us. That it's giving up our own control and our own lives and our own freedom and choosing to believe that you truly are the Son of God who can wash us clean and be as fresh and pure as is possible. And it's not even possible in this world, Lord. It's only possible through you. And so, Lord, I just pray for your work to continue in each one of us. I thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love. And I thank you for answering big prayers. And I just pray while we're all standing together, Lord, that you will be bringing these five people, these new commitments, into our lives and help us be fully aware when they arrive and fully ready to engage. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.